From the Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, we're talking Duke baseball. Welcome to This Week in Duke Baseball with head coach Chris Pollard. Tonight's show is brought to you by Coca-Cola. There's magic when we cheer together. Now, here's your host, the voice of Blue Devil Baseball, Chris Edwards.
Welcome to Tobacco Road Sports Cafe and another edition of This Week in Duke Baseball with the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. I'm Chris Edwards. Thanks for spending part of your Monday afternoon with us. Coach, let's kind of go back and talk about the week that was, the games against Gardner-Webb and Miami. As you look at the final week of the regular season, can you give us a 30,000-foot overview from your perspective of last week?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough week. Got tested in a lot of different ways, and, you know, we got stretched thin. Yeah. But as you and I were just talking and kind of lamenting a little bit before the radio show started, even with that, even with the challenges, even with as thin as this team is, and we keep running the same pitchers back out there on the mound, these guys fought like crazy, and you know, we're a bloop single away from, you know, coming out of the weekend as the only team that went into Miami and won a series there all year long. And you know, we're still in an excellent position, and I spent a lot of time yesterday in our team meeting explaining that to our team, and I wanted to make sure, Chris, that our guys understood that, hey, this last week, and you can even make a case these last 2 weeks have been pretty tough, right? I mean, we've taken some knocks, and we've had to struggle, but that doesn't change in any way. Or in any way diminish what this group has accomplished, and this is an incredible year for this group, and I'm so proud of them. And that was the first message that I had for them yesterday in the locker room. You know, I mean, 35 regular season wins is fourth most in the regular season in school history, and it's against the 11th toughest schedule in the country. And no disrespect to those great teams of the middle 90s. Because I played against some of those teams. I know they were good, and I know they had good players, but I also can tell you with 100% certainty that they weren't playing the 11th toughest schedule in the country, and this team did. And so to accomplish 35 wins against the schedule that we've played, 16 ACC wins, which is the second most regular season ACC wins in school history, it's a tremendous accomplishment, and it's a testament to these guys and the toughness that they've forged based on the commitment that they have to each other, and I'm really proud of that.
Well, let's talk about this past week in kind of more in depth, and I know there's not moral victories in the sport of baseball, but, man, it feels like there's a lot of guys that are starting to get things going and turning things around, and maybe some positives you can take out of that Miami series as you head into postseason this week.
Well, there's always positives, man. It's not winning and losing. It's winning and learning.
Right.
And so in any situation, we're going to build off the things we did well, and we're going to learn from the things that we didn't do well. And, you know, as you mentioned, to see, you know, see some guys really get going. I thought Tyler Albright continued to give us great at-bats. I thought 1-4 in our lineup was really, really good. I can't say enough about the job that Andrew Fisher did. I mean, hadn't seen a live pitch since the Friday night mid-April against Louisville. Had only had just a couple of rounds of batting practice. And to step in and give us those kind of at-bats all weekend long and is not 100%, but is competing like crazy in the batter's box. Really proud of Andrew Fisher and the job that he did. Jay Beshears, you know, again, healthy once again and putting up Jay Beshears-type numbers. So there's a lot to be excited about as we round out the regular season and start this new season, which is the postseason.
Let me ask you about Fisher kind of piggybacking on that. 5 of 10 this week in a double, a home run, 2 RBIs, 5 walks, only 1 strikeout. And you mentioned not seeing the live pitching. So he gets jammed. He has to inside out some baseballs this week, and something he hadn't been able to do in a month.
It's insane. I mean, I don't know what else. I don't know how to wrap my head around it. You shouldn't have been able to go in and do what he did.
That's right.
And you know, he's a special player with special ability, but I also thought he showed you a lot in terms of his competitive makeup and his toughness this weekend.
What does that do for your lineup? It seems to me like it makes your lineup longer and deeper.
Yeah, it totally changes the dynamic of our lineup. You put him in there and push everybody down a spot behind him, and it just gives us a better balance. It gives us better right-left balance. it gives us the more to jumpstart that top of the lineup. It gives you a little more pop in the bottom of the lineup as you push some guys down. So it helps a ton, and it's great to have him back.
You know, Alex Mooney's been getting on base a ton over the last month or so. Maybe not a ton of hits to show for it, but I thought this weekend he really came out in terms of a hit party, five hits, including a couple of extra base hits. Seemed like to me he's trying to find and is finding a nice stride there at home plate.
Yeah, Alex, you know, he's been getting on base at about a 450 clip since – this time last year, since mm-hmm. April of last year, and the guy just has a knack for finding the barrel, and he has a knack for getting on base, and he competes like crazy, and truly one of the most competitive players that I've ever been around.
You know, we were talking, I think you and I, one of our pregame chats a couple weeks ago, talking about how I just needed one guy to, like, start getting hot to break out of the funk, because it was like an offensive funk. Feels like four or five guys maybe breaking out at the same time.
No, I like a lot of the things that we've done offensively, and you even go back to Wednesday,
yeah.
You had 15 hits. You had five extra base hits. So, you know, there was a lot. There's a lot to like about what some guys have done offensively over the last week.
We talked in the preseason about how this club was going to have a lot of right-handed power. 90 home runs through the regular season that ties the program record. Are you surprised that it's been this many home runs for this group?
No, I'm not. I mean, I thought that would be a strength for us. And I told this group back in August, I said, I believe this team can hit 100 home runs, and I believe by the time it's all said and done, we will. And that's even with some of those key home run guys being out for big chunks of the year with injury.
Let's turn our focus toward the pitching now. I want to start – not a lot of guys we want to highlight, but let's start with Alex Gow and the start that he gave you on Thursday night.
Tremendous.
Important to note it was on short rest, too, one day shorter than what he's normally throwing. And then he gives you a couple of shutdown innings there to stabilize the ball game. Really good out by Alex there.
No, I thought he pitched great, and they only put two good swings on him in five innings. And, you know, right now – as thin as we are, we need length anytime we can get it. And, you know, our formula with Alex has always been two times through the lineup. And, you know, now that's the fourth or fifth time this year he's been able to give us five innings going two times through the lineup. And that's great efficiency.
What did you think about Aiden Weaver's start that he gave you?
I thought Aiden was terrific. I mean, you know, on the road, hostile environment, handles the environment really well. I mean, it's a huge stage, and gives us two zeros, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what we were looking for. And you know, I think it's very likely you'll see him again this week in the ACC tournament, and then again next week in the NCAA tournament.
I was looking at this last night. Seven different guys have at least one start on the mound in ACC play this year, and 12 guys have thrown at least 9 to 10 innings this year. It means a lot of guys have been in high leverage spots, been in big moments against some really good competition, one of the best leagues in the country. How much is that going to pay dividends as we continue this week, but also into the postseason where they're not going to be afraid of that moment?
I think it's huge, Chris. I think, you know, we're a team that has been willing to go deep into our depth since very early in the year, and we've had to. We haven't had a choice to, but it's forced guys to really grow up, you know, and they're not freshmen anymore, you know, and we're gonna need to rely on that depth. That's going to be a strength of ours in postseason play.
I want to ask you about the freshmen. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You don't think of these guys as freshmen anymore. And I'm curious, because these guys are now throwing a lot more in travel ball, they're throwing a lot more in showcases, does the volume now not matter maybe as much coming out of high school for some of these freshmen as it did 5-10 years ago?
No, I think it still matters. And, I mean, you're asking me a question. I want to give you an honest answer.
Sure.
I think it still matters. What I think the difference is I think these guys are prepared for it. They've trained for it. And I, again, as you've heard me allude to in the past, I think the job that Dan Perlmutter does as our sports performance coach of building these guys physically, the job that Brady Kirkpatrick does as our pitching coach of preparing these guys for the workload, then helping them manage the workload, you know, I think guys are better prepared for it. You know, there's a natural fatigue that happens over the course mm-hmm. of the season, but you don't see guys wear down the way you did 10 years ago, or certainly 30 years ago when I played, where guys lose weight, they lose velocity, they're kind of a shadow of themselves by the time they get to the end of the year. You don't see that with this group. You know, you see guys maintaining their weight, maintaining their strength, maintaining their velocity, the quality of their stuff. And again, that's a credit to how we train.
Circling back to the Saturday, the lightning delay obviously didn't help there at the start of the ball game.
It's tough, yeah.
But how about the job Gabe Nard did coming out of the bullpen?
Huge.
And picking up a couple teammates there?
No, I mean, you know, we were hoping to get 2 to 3 innings out of Ryan Higgins, and he gives us a clean first inning, and you're thinking, okay, we can get one time through the lineup with Ryan and hopefully get into the third inning, and then the lightning delay happens. And on a day where we knew we were going to be pushed to the brink in terms of who we had available to us. And so somebody's got to step up. And the step-up guy was Gabe Nard.
Yep.
And I was really proud of him, you know. And I think one of the things I want to highlight is the job he did on the first and third double steal of managing the moment right there. That's a play that a month ago or back in the fall, he's not – ready to manage, but we executed that play to perfection, you know, and it's just it's cool to see these guys grow, you know, and he's a guy that's grown a lot over the course of this year.
Felt like the guys in the middle of the ball game on Saturday, and we talked about this post game, did a really nice job of keeping the game right there within striking distance.
Yeah, you know, Ed Hart pitched better than the numbers. I mean, you know, his stuff was good. He was getting swing and miss. It was live. You know, Beasley had was a tough luck victim with the home run that snuck inside the pole, and you know we were still right there in a 3-run ball game until deep in the game.
Mm-hmm. Last thought and kind of wrap up this opening segment. You know, we had the long delay there coming back, sitting on the plane. I was sitting by some guys and they were trying to teach me mafia, and I still don't understand what it is.
Well, you and I are both in the same boat then. There's like a small part of me that wants to understand it, and then there's a much bigger part of me that's fine with the fact that I don't understand.
Abby, who runs the academic part of things for the program, she was back there. She understands it better than we do. She actually played around, so I think she should tutor us on mafia.
Somebody's going to have to, Chris. At some point in time, I'd like to at least know what I'm hearing,
yeah.
You know, what all the heck's going on back there. But you know, it certainly consumed these guys a lot of their time, and it's been great for them, helping them pass the time.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and have more with Coach after this on the Blue Devil Sports Network from Learfield.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim... Jim, we're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
Let me grab my car keys and we'll roll.
We still going to that new bar downtown?
Yeah, supposed to be fun. Lexi, give me driving directions from home to downtown bar district.
Autocorrect. Suggest Uber. Pick up home. Drop off downtown bar district.
No, I'm driving.
Suggest the Metro bus. Departing in 12 minutes.
Point taken, Lexi. We'll grab a ride.
If you drink, don't drive. Decide to ride. Brought to you in partnership by Anheuser-Busch, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Uber.
Everyone has an idea of their perfect engagement ring. You'll know it when you see it, but you have to see it. Allura Bridal from Reed's Jewelers. 8 stunning collections with over 300 styles. Yellow, rose, or white gold. Two-tone, stacks, pavé, solitaires, wraps, guards. Your perfect ring exists. All you have to do is come and see it. It's your style and your choice with Allura Bridal. Only at Reed's Jewelers and Reed's.com.
I feel happy, Valero Pay Plus app.
I feel happy, it makes savings a snap.
Use it and start saving automatically.
You just save some money, none too shabby.
I feel happy, I'm in and out real fast.
I feel happy, now pit stops are a blast.
Download today and get in on the fun.
Valero Pay Plus app, your savings have begun.
For any surface in every season, there's a Continental tire that delivers superior performance. From ultra-high performance tires like the Extreme Contact Sport to passenger touring tires to all-terrain light truck tires like the Terrain Contact AT. Continental has a tire that gives you confidence no matter the road conditions. Whether you're looking for summer, all-season, or winter tires, Continental Tire has something to fit your needs. Visit ContinentalTire.com to find your ideal tire. Continental Tire, a proud partner of the Duke Blue Devils.
Enjoying the game but not the drink being spilled down your back or the foam finger poking you in the face? Well, head to the concession stand, grab a Lindy's Italian Ice, and take a 6-ounce vacation. A 6-ounce cup of lemon Italian Ice will make you feel like you're swaying in a hammock and the only thing in your face is a cool, salty breeze. And that ought to have you refreshed. Now get your head back in the game and start belting out Blue and White with the youthful exuberance of the freshman behind you. Yes, the same one that keeps spilling his drink down your back. Lindy's Italian Ice. Have an ice day.
Duke fans know about excellence and achievement and the value of a Duke education. So when someone is injured and needs legal help, it makes sense to call the law offices of James Scott Farron, a statewide law firm managed by a Duke Law graduate. If you're injured in an auto accident or on the job, call on the Hurt Line, 1-800-HURT-LINE. The law offices of James Scott Farron, headquartered near Duke at 555 Magnum Street in Durham, North Carolina.
It's bow time. Yep, it's eating time again. Now you could unload groceries, chop, dice, mince, preheat, heat, slap around the smoke detector, and then celebrate with a big old pile of dishes. But if you're tired of cooking, or tired of sort of cooking, it's time to feed the whole family with Bojangles Fried Chicken Family Meal. With Bojangles' famous chicken, fixins, biscuits, and tea, you can forget the cookbook and spend some well-earned quality time with a delicious dinner from Bojangles. It's bow time.
We're back at Tobacco Road Sports Cafe with the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. Thanks for joining us on this Monday afternoon. And, Coach, get ready to start the ACC tournament tomorrow. Number 5 seed for your club. You'll begin pool play at 7 o'clock tomorrow night against NC State and wrap up pool play against Miami on Friday at 3. No draw, obviously, is perfect. But do you like the way the schedule shook out for this week?
I like the fact that we've got the 2 days off in between games. You know, for a team like us that has to utilize their bullpen as much as we do, I think that helps us. So I thought the way it's set up worked well for us.
Can you almost treat this like a normal week because you'll play Tuesday like a midweek and then you're off, play Friday, hopefully advance, and then play Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's certainly part of the logic for us. And so, you know, we'll approach tomorrow in a lot of ways, you know, like a midweek game, and then be ready to set up for the weekend.
Let's talk about the pool now a little bit. Obviously, we just saw Miami this past week, and we have not seen NC State this year. I haven't seen the Wolfpack since the fall exhibition here at the DBAP. What can you tell us about Coach Avin's club?
Offensive, you know. I mean, 120 doubles and batting 300 as a team, and they don't strike out.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of left-handed hitters in the lineup, you know, so they can create some matchup problems with their offense. They really, you know, a team, you look at them, they're a lot better than their numbers suggest. You know, they've pitched, they've picked it. They don't really, you don't see a glaring weakness there other than maybe they don't have a ton of depth in the bullpen, right?
Sure.
And so, you know, I think that's one of the challenges, you know. But they've got, the flip side of that, they've got some experienced guys, you know, Willitson, Whitaker, Highfill, that aren't going to beat themselves. So it's tough to flush those guys out of the game early. But, you know, if you can, one of the important things to do with NC State, you try to get their starters out as soon as you can so you can get to the middle part of that bullpen. And I think that'll be a challenge for us.
Miami on Friday, a team that you've played obviously 3 times, fourth time you play them in a week. Does that benefit one side or the other?
No, I don't. I don't know that there's a benefit. We're both really familiar with each other now.
Sure.
We saw their best. They saw all our guys, and so, you know, come Friday, it'll really just come down to who executes better.
Let's talk about the league now that we're through the regular season. Obviously, 12 teams make the ACC tournament. 2 really good teams sitting at home not making the postseason. What's your kind of synopsis on the league as a whole this year?
Yeah, great question. I think Wake Forest proved to be the best team in the league. I think a lot of people felt like going into the year that they were the most talented team in the league and on paper, and that's proven itself out to be the case. And you know, I think you had a Miami and UVA team that most people thought were going to be the two best teams on the other side, and it's played out that way. You know, I think the takeaway, you specifically mentioned Louisville and Florida State, you know, and I can tell you we didn't play Florida State, but I know their personnel pretty well. We did play Louisville here and obviously got an up-close look at all of their personnel, and you left that series going. That's a team that could win a regional. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the ability to win a regional, and just goes to show you the gap between the top and bottom of this league is very, very small. And year to year, whether it's an injury or two or youth and inexperience, it can dramatically shift the balance, because ultimately the gap between winning and losing is just really, really more narrow than it's ever been.
As we turn our focus back toward this week, playing at the DBAP, this is a place where this group is very, very comfortable, played some home games here. How much does that help that you're going into a ballpark that you already know and you're very familiar with?
Played really well in the park, mm-hmm. played really, really well in the park at night. Excited about it. Told our guys that yesterday, and I think they're looking forward to it.
This is an opportunity, obviously, to go win a championship, but to play for a lot more, too. And this is still a lot of baseball left in front of this group this year, not just this week, but even past this week.
Well, I think, you know, we've put ourselves in a great position with the regular season that we've had. We'll focus on the task at hand, which is trying to put ourselves in a position to play on Saturday, right? I mean, you want to get to that Final Four and have a chance to compete for a ring. And then, you know, we'll, after this week, we'll regroup and rest up and continue to try to heal up, and then be ready to find out on Monday where we're playing, you know. And I think people probably wonder and speculate. I think we're a good week here in Durham away from continuing to play in Durham. Mm-hmm. You know, if things don't go well this week, then we'll wait, and on Monday we'll know where we're going.
Want to see a lot of Duke blue in the stands this week, too. Be nice to see the Duke community come out and support these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's be honest. The Pack's going to bring a great crowd tomorrow night.
Yes.
And we got to match it. We got to match their energy. And so I challenge all our Duke baseball faithful, try to fill up the park tomorrow night, be rowdy, be loud, and create a great atmosphere.
Let's talk about a couple of our friends in Duke Athletics and send some congratulations first to Coach Young and the Duke softball team, hosting the first ever Super Regional in program history.
It's incredible what Marissa and her team, what her program's done, the program they've built. It's really incredible. And you know, to think here just a few years into the existence of the program, they're hosting a Super Regional. It's pretty special. But I've told you, Chris,
yep.
You know, I'm in the weight room when they're in the weight room, and I see how they work, how they go about their business. That program understands the correlation between hard work and success, and they've earned these opportunities.
And congratulations to Duke men's lacrosse. Coach Danowski, they're heading back to another Final Four.
Yeah, incredible. Duke athletics, and this, you know, it's a credit to Nina and our athletic administration and to the university, but Duke athletics has had one heck of a year.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back to the fall and the success of our soccers and football and obviously John winning an ACC championship in his first season as a head coach, and the job that Kara did and their season. And now you look at what the spring has brought and all the success with us in softball and lacrosse and men's women's tennis and men's women's golf. I mean, it's been a special year for Duke athletics.
Do you have any memories of a conference tournament from when you were pitching at Davidson?
I do. You know, 1996, we were playing as the 8th seed against number 1 Western Carolina, and that was a heck of a team. Western Carolina was ranked number 23 in the country going into that contest, that opening round of the Southern Conference tournament, and they had a guy on the mound who's gone on to become a major leaguer and now a successful college coach, and Jason Beverland. Mm-hmm. You know, Jason wound up being a first-round draft pick after that season was over with, and pitched up to the big leagues, and has since gone on to be a professional scout and a college pitching coach and a college head coach, and is now doing a great job as a pitching coach at Coastal Carolina University. But we wound up winning that game 2-1, and we were ahead 2-1 going into the bottom of the ninth, and I had started that game, And I went back out to the mound to finish the game off. Gave up a leadoff triple to Mike Tittick. Mike was a heck of a player at Western Carolina, who's since gone on to be a successful college coach and is now a professional scout. Mike had a great professional career of his own. So the tie and run is at third with nobody out. And we brought in our closer, who was a submariner named Brian Heil. And he struck out three guys in a row to end the game with the tie and run at third base to pick up the save, and we won that. And you know, for a lot of years, it was considered one of the bigger wins in Southern Conference baseball tournament history. A lot of fun. We used to always go down and play those Southern Conference tournaments in Charleston, mm-hmm. At the old park.
Yeah.
You know, before they built the new park, but. Yeah, I'll never forget that game. Brian coming in and striking out the side with the tying run at third base.
Wrap up the show with this thought. Alex Mooney said back in the preseason that we were hoping for people to be talking about the Blue Devils at the end of the year and not the beginning of the year. Now seems like a good time for everyone to keep talking about the Blue Devils because they're playing their best baseball.
I love it. I love what this team has done. You know, outside of the program, I don't know that there were people that had a lot of high expectations for this group, but they've always had high expectations for themselves. And to see what they've accomplished and see the position that they've put themselves in, I told them yesterday, I said, you've earned this opportunity. You've earned this opportunity to go out and compete in the ACC tournament, represent Duke, and do it at the DBAP. And I want them to enjoy it and embrace it.
All right, Coach, let's go have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
That's the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. Thanks for joining us on this Monday afternoon from Tobacco Road Sports Cafe.
You've been listening to This Week in Duke Baseball with Blue Devils head coach Chris Pollard. Tonight's show was brought to you by Coca-Cola. There's magic when we cheer together. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Blue Devils Sports Network.